Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
President is going to take a few days off at a billionaire's compound in Nantucket.
Well, first I would say, I don't know if you've cooked a turkey before, but a 20-pound turkey is a pretty big turkey. I think we can all agree. They're about $1 more. So not to minimize that, any increase in prices is something the president is concerned about.
So when I saw George on the street with an 18-pound turkey and a giant box of wine, I thought, what a coincidence. We're just about to eat.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This Thanksgiving, we have so much to be grateful for. Vaccines that are effective, safe, and free.
Now, boosters are extremely important to help keep us safe. In fact, we believe that boosters will likely give you the highest level of protection yet.
Yes, instead of getting basted, these two turkeys are getting boosted.
Was that remark directed at me, Carla, by any chance?
No, it was directed at your stupid turkey and your stupid stuffing and your stupid gravy.
As they say in my old neighborhood in Brooklyn, give me a break, will you?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope everybody is going to have a swell time eating turkey or whatever your choice is, and be thankful for our blessings. Maybe we can still pull out of this. We pulled out of terrible situations in the past, and they've been self-inflicted many times, and somehow we've always gotten out of it with the help of divine providence. And let's just pray again that we can do the same and that we can get through this this malaise known as the Biden regime. 844-500-4242. Let's play a short burst of Let's Go Brandon. This is from the Fox Patriot Awards the other day. Cut 27, just to check. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Remember CBS called Kyle Rittenhouse a murderer during his trial? He said he'd murdered two people. And then just on Sunday, an ancient hack for CBS News on Face the Nation said that Kyle Rittenhouse had crossed state lines to armed for battle. Well, this is what CBS is calling the Christmas parade massacre on Sunday night. Cut 26.
We are also hearing from the uncle of one of the 18 children hurt in the crash on Sunday. David Begnaud reports on how one 11-year-old girl is doing.
The crash. It was a crash. It wasn't a terrorist attack by a deranged career criminal pimp. It was a crash. It was an SUV, a red SUV. Went out of control. It's always the SUVs. When are we going to have some common sense SUV laws? 7-day waiting periods to drive SUVs, especially red ones. Time now for the chump line.
If the ocean is going to rise and cover up Nantucket, could it please happen now?
That would be a good poll question, a very unkind poll question. What would you see rather have the ocean swallow first, Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket? I guess it would depend from weekend to weekend.
As we sit down to the Thanksgiving feast, we must all give thanks to the fact that the grocery store workers don't belong to the teachers' union.
Yes, you get it? That means we'd all be starving to death. But Joe says there's no problems in the supermarkets. That means, you know, if you can't find the turkey, you can probably find some sliced bologna. Or maybe some hot dogs. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, giving thanks for local made in America, grown in America products, like our wicked awesome windows, or like dairy products from farms such as Shadow Valley Farms. Remember, made in America never gets stuck offshore waiting to unload. And for that, we are truly thankful.
Joe Biden here. As I'm jetting off to Nantucket for Thanksgiving, I'll be thinking of you poor bastards out in flyover country. Even if you could find some cake to eat, you couldn't afford the gas to go get it. No joke.
That mansion he's staying in, I've read reports variously, it's worth between $20 and $30 million. And it's on 13 acres. That's what you call a prime lot on the island of Nantucket. John Kerry's kicking himself, though, that he moved to Martha's Vineyard. He downsized. But, you know, the strange thing is that the Bidens are not ordering out from the Chanticleer Inn, you know, where you get the lobster-drawn butter and the yard beans. They're ordering from a place that actually seems, by Nantucket standards, almost reasonably priced.
As they say in my old neighborhood in Brooklyn, give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
When we played that cut about it, Fauci talking about Brooklyn, a texter said, the only thing he ever said in Brooklyn is, here's my lunch money, stop hitting me. I have a feeling that texter was on to something.
The roasted turkey that we all want to see this Thanksgiving is Dr. Fauci.
It's time for another Fauci cut. There's no lie too big for Dr. Fauci, that's for sure. Cut three.
We would hope, and this is something that we're looking at very carefully, that third shot with the mRNA not only boosts you way up, but increases the durability so that you will not necessarily need it every 6 months or a year. We're hoping it pushes it out more. If it doesn't, and the data show we do need it more often, then we'll do it.
The words that were going through my mind as I listened to that were snake oil salesman. When do we call the bunko squad on this guy and have him rounded up? If he were selling something, the Securities and Exchange Commission could file a criminal complaint against him.
It was Tuesday, July 28th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We're working the day watch at a bunko detail.
Someone had just phoned in another cut from the leading snake oil salesman in the City of the Angels. Cut four.
Now, boosters are extremely important to help keep us safe. In fact, we believe that boosters will likely give you the highest level of protection yet.
Get me the bunko squad!
Hey, Howie, I wanted to call and wish you a happy Thanksgiving, man. Okay, and I'm being sincere about this. I mean, as you gather around the table, okay, holding hands with your family, you should really thank God that this is family and these are the people that love you, despite the fact that you're a winner.
How the hell did he make an escape from Hate Mail Monday onto Thanksgiving Eve Chump Line?
He really built that up, too. That was good.
But I knew where it was going. You knew where it was going, too. He has a rather distinctive voice.
Lovey, can you believe dotard Biden is coming to Nantucket? There goes the neighborhood. How can one enjoy the sophisticated nuance of the Chanticleer if the establishment is inundated with wafts of soiled Depends? I'm so glad we moved to the vineyard.
Now, actually, you think, you know, he's kicking himself because he'd love to just walk over to where, I guess I don't think he was that far. I think he could have walked to Rubenstein's place. He wasn't that far from Nantucket Harbor, was he? Hulbert Avenue, something like that. Pretty close by, the White Elephant.
when Carl Rittenhouse becomes owner of CNN, I hope he doesn't fire Jim Acosta. Someone's got to clean the toilets.
I hope he doesn't get to own CNN. I'd hate to see him go bankrupt before he can enjoy the fruits of his of his travails over the last year and a half.
I feel better now that I know Rashida Tlaib does not want all of the prisoners released, just the crazy ones.
Yeah, we got to play that Rashida Tlaib cut. It's not on the cut sheet today. We didn't get around to it today. This woman is insane. And again, she's being asked by a friendly reporter, some moonbat from Axios, saying, do you really want to release all the prisoners? You really want to shut down every facility in the Bureau of Prisons? She's cackling like Jennifer Granholm.
So for Thanksgiving, some locals on Nantucket will be preparing Biden's favorite fudge for dessert. Going to have to be good after the border fudge, the Afghanistan fudge, the inflation fudge, and the supply chain fudge.
Supposedly he's going to go to a lighting of a Christmas tree on Friday. I hope there's a spirited rendition of Let's Go Brandon to greet him.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
That's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message anytime between the hours of 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weekday. The Chump Line will be back on live Chump Line will be back on Friday when Taylor is filling in for me. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. If you like the Chump Line or didn't hear your message and just like to hear more Chump Line messages, we always have Chopped Chumps. They're posted every night around 7 o'clock. Those are the excess Chump Line messages of the day. And you can find Chop Chumps wherever you find your Howie Carr Show podcasts. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, giving thanks for local made in America, grown in America products, like our wicked awesome windows or like dairy products from farms such as Shadow Valley Farms. Remember, made in America never gets stuck offshore waiting to unload. And for that, we are truly grateful.
As they say in my old neighborhood in Brooklyn, give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
What a fraud he is. Again, where's Sergeant Joe Friday and the Bunko Squad when you really need him? I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this. He's the smartest guy in the room.
I think Papa has it all figured out. Figured out and wrapped up in tissue paper with pink ribbons on it.
Howie Carr is back.
Shopping for holiday gifts? You can't go wrong with Raycon wireless earbuds. Amazing audio quality, a 32-hour battery life, and three new sound profiles, so everything you're listening to sounds its best. Unlock exclusive deals up to 30% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Is political discussion banned at your Thanksgiving dinner?
No, because I'm going to have a very small Thanksgiving dinner.
It's gone up. 39% say yes, it is verboten.
All right. I'm just looking at the front page of the Boston Globe. Is it time to get serious about masking again inside in Massachusetts? Question mark. I guess you know the answer to that as far as the Globe is concerned. There was never a time to stop masking. Anything that's can be done to inconvenience the general public and make things mandatory and give the state more power, the Globe is all in on it. All in on it. 844-500-4242. Do we have that Rashida Tlaib cut? Is that around anywhere? she and AOC and Jamie Raskin, the Groucho Marx lookalike from Maryland, they basically want to shut down all federal prisons and do away with any kind of bail.
He's a Zeppo Marx lookalike, not Groucho. He doesn't have the mustache.
He's not as funny either. Yeah, you're right. He is more of a Zeppo, but he's so bad. Anyway, here's Rashida. You know, AOC is pretty dumb, but this woman makes AOC look like Wernher von Braun, the rocket scientist.
When you endorsed the BREATHE Act, which is a series of proposals to transform America's criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. And create, quote, a roadmap for prison abolition. The BREATHE Act proposes emptying federal detention facilities within 10 years. To what extent have you wrestled with any potential downsides of releasing into society every single person who's currently in a federal prison?
Yeah, I think that everyone's like, oh my God, we're gonna just release everybody. But did you see how many people are mentally ill that are in prison right now?
No, I know, but the act that you says release everyone in 10 years.
But think about it. Who will release
you? But there are, like, human traffickers.
Oh, I know.
Child sex. Do you mean that you don't actually support that? Because you endorse the bill.
No, I endorse the BREATHE Act and looking at the policies and how we incarcerate. Absolutely.
But it says in there.
But you cannot just blankly say, oh, look, she wants... That's not what I'm...
But that's like in plain text.
That seems to me what you said. And when you say, look at how many of them are mentally... You want to let them go? You want to let the mentally ill people go? How's that going to work out? Okay. How did the institutionalization work out on the streets of America's largest and not so large cities alike? Do you think can we all agree that deinstitutionalization was and is a complete disaster, fiasco? 844-500-4242. Jay, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jay.
Howie, before I make my comments, I just want to say thank you so much for your program. Your staff is flawless. I mean, flawless. What a great staff you've got.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, the previous caller said that Xi Jinping was running the show at country. I thought it was Alfred E. Newman, but I could be wrong.
Why couldn't they be both? Rome used to have co-consuls, Imperial Rome, Republican Rome. So you could have two people running the country.
Before I get to Buttigieg, I was trying to understand Biden's cognitive ability. Would be what your analogy to it would be like Beavis and Butthead trying to decipher Albert Einstein. and I don't think he could pronounce Kenosha on the teleprompter anyways. But Howie, they just interviewed Howie Barney Frank down here.
Yeah.
And about inflation, and I just said, my God, if that isn't Pete Buttigieg in an older version. But
well, come on. Where is Barney Frank these days?
My God, I hope he's with you.
He's not with me, I tell you. I haven't seen the guy for years. Not that I've really missed seeing him. 844, he gave up his seat to Joe Kennedy.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
One of the most important legacies of the early settlers is that they experimented with socialism in the 1620s and it did not work. Private property rights, personal responsibility, saved the Plymouth Colony from extinction and laid the economic foundation for the free and prosperous nation that we all enjoy today.
For the past 30 years or so, I think Rush Limbaugh, the day before Thanksgiving, would always talk about the true story of Thanksgiving and about how the original colony was supposed basically a socialist experiment and how it fell apart and the pilgrims didn't succeed until they switched over to capitalism, basically. And he would tell that story. It was a great moment, one of the great moments in his show every year. And I was thinking about that today because it's the first year, the first Thanksgiving that Rush isn't around. And we're joined now on the show by James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdley. And he was the official program observer, call screener, et cetera, et cetera. He's got a new book out now, Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick of 30 years. And I look forward to reading it. And James Golden, or should I call you Bo Snerdley, it's great to have you on the show.
Whatever you want to call me is fine. It is so wonderful to be here.
And, you know, I know you're on WABC, I believe, once a week, aren't you?
6 days a week. Try that.
No. Oh, six days. I'm sorry.
I just got through doing my show a few minutes ago. So I'm on Monday through Saturday on WABC.
Oh, well, that's great. You should have been on long ago. I always liked your stuff. I know you were on off and on, but, you know, this is, you know, I love my producer, my old producer, Grace. She's now on in that slot sometime, you know, on a number of stations, noon to three, and I love her show, and, you know, I like Dan Bongino and the other guys who took Rush's place, but, man, I miss Rush so much on certain days, you know, when it's a big news day, like the Rittenhouse verdict last week. I thought to myself, I wonder what Rush would have to say about this. Do you ever? I'm sure you find yourself thinking the exact same thing, don't you?
Yes, I do. Of course, yeah. You know, and that was the thing. No matter what it was, if you felt troubled by a news story or something was troubling, it was like, wow, I wonder what Rush thinks. Or if you felt overjoyed by some event in the news, just, I can't wait to hear Rush. And, you know, so you could get a sense of that exuberance that he would have over certain stories. So, yeah. It is really, this Thanksgiving is like no other after 33 years of having Rush on Thanksgiving. And I love the way that you summarize the Thanksgiving story that he used to tell every year, because that's exactly right. It was the battle between socialism and capitalism that defined America early on.
Right, and you know, I don't know if you saw this, but the Wall Street Journal, they're now trying to remove they have editorials about Thanksgiving, and they've been running the same editorials for 50 years, and now some liberal professor is trying to get rid of them because they refer to something that Governor Winthrop wrote, and he said we arrived in this land and it was full of wild beasts and wild men. And so they say that's right. Racist, and the Wall Street Journal has to get rid of these two great columns. I mean, and again, what would Rush have said about that? He would have gone on for a segment about that.
Absolutely. This idea that we are supposed to just erase our past. You remember how horrified the left was when the Taliban was removing history around the world and artifacts from various countries?
Right.
They don't have any problem today becoming the Taliban themselves and wanting everything removed that they don't find to their liking.
Right, the Buddha statues. They were dynamiting them when they took over in Afghanistan, and it was horrific what
right.
they did. Yeah,
right. But what are we doing in this country with our statues? Oh, we don't like that piece of history, so let's get rid of it and pretend it never existed.
I know. How did you hook up with Rush Limbaugh, Bo Snerdley?
I met him. You know, I met Rush the first day he came to New York. I met him as he was coming in the ABC headquarters building for the first time, I believe, with Ed McLaughlin, who was his business partner. Ed, he was the former president of ABC Radio Networks. And I knew Ed. I was the former music director at WABC. I produced their last music show and then walked in another studio and produced their first talk show. So I saw them when they were first coming in. And Ed introduced me to Rush. We had a brief but wonderful conversation. And I remember making the remark to him, oh, goodness, you're going to be bigger than Paul Harvey. Little did I know that my own life would be. Yeah.
That's a great lie.
Little did I know my own life would be intertwined with Rush's in such a way, and that I would be part of that phenomenal, successful show. A few months later, I was rotated onto his show as a call screener. And I never left the show because Rush and I just clicked. We both loved radio from early on. We were both radio guys who really loved and were passionate about the business. So we clicked, and it was just, the rest was history.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I was sort of in radio when he started out, and I would listen to him. They would only play him in Boston on the weekends. And I would listen on the weekends, and I would just learn so much stuff. Just from the way he used sound cuts, like nobody I'd ever seen before used them, and the bits, And, you know, then later, since then, I've listened to, you know, the old style radio people, you know, like Jack Benny. You know, people don't realize what a pioneer he was. And he would use these recurring bits. And Rush just took it to a whole new level. He brought back all this stuff that had basically been forgotten. And he made it into a modern phenomenon. It was amazing.
Rush understood broadcasting like even those the best among our industry do. I mean, this is what he was passionate about since he was 6 years old. He used to say all the time, you know, I was born to host and you were born to listen. Well, he may have said that in jest, but it was true. This was a guy who, although he had his more than his fair share of failures in the industry, he continued, and thank goodness he persevered and decided he wanted to give it one more shot. And all that he had learned, all of his professionalism from music radio on, all of his studying this industry and the craft of being a great broadcaster was able to rise to the top. And it was hard work. And let me tell you something. He was always preparing for that show. He used to say life is show prep. And he took the show, the seriousness of his own performance on radio to a level that earned him every bit of the success that he had.
We're talking to James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. He's now a radio talk show host of his own on WABC in New York, and he's got a new book out. It's available at Amazon, and it's also available at jamesgolden.com if you don't want to give Amazon your bucks. It's called Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick of 30 years. Just give us a couple of stories, Bo, from the book that we may not have heard before.
Well, one story, people always ask me how I came up with the name Snerdly. Well, I didn't come up with the name Snerdly. Rush did. And it was because there were two other Snerdlys, and no one remembers them now because I was there for so long, Marva and Mervyn. Marva was the first one. She was a liberal, didn't want her liberal New York friends to know she was working on a conservative radio show, so Rush called her Merva Snerdly. And after that was Marvin. After I got on the show, then the first day I brought some stories into Rush, and he said to me, you know, well, you know, you have to be a Snerdly, right? Huh? And so I looked down on his desk. This was back in the days when there were real newspapers that we used to cut articles out of. And there was an article on the back page from the back page of the Daily News about something that Bo Jackson had done. I looked and saw it up, Bo, and there you go.
Wow. I remember when Rush died. I remember right before he died, I wrote a column saying thank you to President Trump for all the stuff he did. And it was about maybe a month before he died, and he read most of my column over over his show. And I was so honored that he did that. You know, I don't look up to that many people in broadcasting or any other facet of life, but I was just so honored that he would do something like that. He was just so good. What did you know the Peggy Noonan column I'm about to reference? I mean, she was so nasty to him when he died. What did you think of that?
I didn't. Let me tell you something. I was so despondent and so wrapped up in grief that I did not pay attention to any of the haters, including Peggy Noonan. And I just didn't. I have such amazing, good memories of Rush, and I comforted myself during that period with just focusing on the positive. Anything negative, I pushed out of my life. And I have not read a Peggy Noonan column in I don't know how long. Poor Peggy, she used to be so relevant. And, this is one of the reasons I wrote this book, Howard, because I think the people that loved Rush and that understood what he was doing and appreciated what he did, not only for the business of radio, but for the country and for the people of this country and his amazing generosity and philanthropy, I think we are the ones that should define his legacy, not the haters.
I certainly haven't read any of her columns since that one. I just was disgusted with the whole thing. You also have a series of podcasts on Rush, do you not?
I did a podcast series for iHeartMedia on the life of Rush Limbaugh, and it was so rewarding They iHeart hooked me up with some of the most amazing producers in the business, and we all worked very hard for a 3-month period going through Russ's life in broadcasting and talked to his family members, his friends, and people that used to work with us at the EIB network. And we put together a podcast series on Rush, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. And I'm tremendously proud of that work because I think it represented Rush and what he accomplished very well in that space.
We just got a text from 413. Snerdly, you, sir, are not a sidekick. You are a legend as well.
Well, that's very kind, and I so appreciate that. You know, Snerdly is having a rough go because this is the first Thanksgiving that Rush isn't here. And I remember last Thanksgiving, Rush, you know, last Thanksgiving this time last year, Rush let his audience know that he wasn't going to make it, you know, and I remember being really despondent. He told his audience in a very profound monologue how much he had come to understand what Lou Gehrig meant when Lou Gehrig was facing his illness, and Lou Gehrig said that he was the luckiest man on earth. And Rush riffed off of that. And several times during that monologue, he made sure to say that his condition was terminal. And I just remember being upset last Christmas. I didn't go out anywhere. I just stayed home and pretty much moped and cried and felt miserable. And, of course, now here we are a year later, almost from that holiday season. And, of course, I'm feeling sad and nostalgic, but I'm also filled with gratitude because Rush was such an amazing human being, so generous. And Howie's not just Rush. It's what this audience, what talk radio does, what you do. Look, what our audiences have done. It's the same audience. They listen to you. They listen to Rush. They listen to all the talk radio giants. And you, Howie, are among the giants, and you know that. So what have they done? Millions and millions of dollars for leukemia research. Leukemia doesn't strike people on the basis of their political belief. It can strike children, babies, the elderly, anybody. We have raised so much money to help people with leukemia. Look at what Rush and Catherine did and what others have done to help the families of first responders who have fallen in the line of duty, be they military or serving cities. They have raised money to help the families of these first responders keep their houses or buy and pay off a house. These children who are going to benefit from this don't care about the politics. They care about the security and missing their loved one. And these are the kind of good works that we were able to do as an industry behind the kind of leadership that Rush, you, and others have done. So what we have all done in this business is commit ourselves to helping make people's lives better. And what better legacy can any of us have for the work that we do?
James Golden, I gotta break it right there. That's Bo Snerdly. He's Rush's sidekick or Rush's cohort for all those years. And his new book is called Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick of 30 years. Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick of 30 years. If you're still down in Florida, James, I'd love to get together with you again. You still down here?
Let's do it again.
Okay,
yes,
hold on.
And I am looking forward to seeing you.
Okay, hold on. Give your number to the producer, and we'll get together very soon. All right. I'm back in Florida, as you can tell, but I made sure to make one last visit to Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire before I took off. I don't go to anyone other than Dr. Bruce Houghton. At my most recent visit, it was great meeting a new patient from Concord, New Hampshire, who's been listening to the show for years. Perfect Smiles has had clients from all over Howie Carr Nation, Northern Maine, Cape Cod, and Connecticut, among other places. Howie Carr Show listeners understand that Dr. Houghton is worth the trip. When you need to get first-class dental work done, from full reconstructive to veneers to anything in between, you need to go to Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Perfect Smiles is easy to get to, just off the main drag, and has plenty of free parking. Don't trust your dental work to anyone but the best. Visit the Perfect Smiles website and see my before and after video. After you see what Dr. Houghton did for me, you'll understand why so many listeners from all over New England travel to Perfect Smiles. Believe it or not, the new protocols they've installed in the last 20 months or so have made it an even more pleasant experience to go to Perfect Smiles. If you've been procrastinating about getting your regular dental work done, don't wait any longer. The longer you wait, the more painful it's likely to be. So get to Perfect Smiles. It's a wonderful place. Visit their site today at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. And don't forget to let them know you're a Howie Carr Show listener. I'm Howie Carr.
Be a part of the show. Call 844-500-4242. And mind your manners.
People lose teeth talking like that. If you want to hang around, you'll be polite.
The Howie Carr Show will return in a moment. He's fighting for the little guy.
Ask him to go in there with all they've got. Win just one for the Kipper.
He's Howie Carr.
Thank you for trying to defund sanctuary cities where illegals run amok. Look, the thank yous go on and on and on here in Howie Carr's column in the Boston Herald from yesterday.
Boy, I felt so great when he read that, because I knew I'd been listening that day when he said he was terminal. I knew he was on his way out, and it just meant a lot to me personally to have him say that. And I know I've only met Bo once. I met him at, I think I met Mar-a-Lago once a number of years ago. And he seems like a good guy. I'd like to. I'm gonna get together with him because he's still down here. 844-500-4242. The title of his book is "Rush on the Radio: A Tribute from His Sidekick of 30 Years." You can order it on Amazon. I checked it out today. You could also, but you'd be better off just to go to jamesgolden.com. That's his name, jamesgolden.com. And then you don't give any money to Dr. Evil, Jeff Bezos. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Howie. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was going to talk about using language and stuff against BLM and stuff like that, but after hearing that, if you don't mind, I'd love to share a little story.
Quickly, that's all.
Okay, all right, you got it. Well, you were the first person I ever listened to as a talk radio host, and you kind of were my gateway announcer and talk radio host that got me into listening to Rush. And I was there that day when he read your column, and I would just made me so happy that, you know, because you were the first person, you know.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you guys, and I love you, Howie, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your team.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim, and thanks for saying I was your gateway drug into talk radio. It makes me very proud, too. Thanks, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. I'm Howie Carr.